Today we're going to be dealing about a very sensitive topic. Vamos a hablar sobre un tema sensitivo. It's titled "Dealing with Sexual Sin in the Church." We're coming back to 1 Corinthians. Yeah? We were off in other sections. We talked about children last week. The value of children being that VBS was coming. But now we're back to 1 Corinthians, and we are in chapter 5 because I want to deal directly with things that the 1 Corinthian church was struggling with. Okay? Vamos a hablar hoy sobre este tema importante, 1 Corintios capítulo 5. Y era un área donde la iglesia de los Corintios estaba luchando, ¿verdad? Que tenía pecado sexual. Continuando en la iglesia, ¿verdad? Y esa era evidencia de que todavía estaban carnales y no podían procesar comida sólida de la palabra de Dios para aplicarla en su vida. Y esta era un área, claramente, porque no estaban ellos tratando con este pecado como debían. Yeah? And being that they were not dealing with this sin, okay, in their own church as they should have, they were giving evidence that what Paul was calling them milk drinkers of the word, okay? They could not process solid food of holy living, teaching, you know? And so they did not deal with it the way they should. And that's what we're going to be doing today. We're going to address this question. What should be the biblical response to sexual sin in the church? And that's the sermon that Paul gave them. Okay, in the scriptures. ¿Cuál sería entonces la respuesta bíblica contra el pecado sexual en la iglesia? Okay, and this is good for all of us, brothers. Maybe you're not in sexual sin. Okay, and that's wonderful. Okay, but the time is coming when the temptation will be there, and you're going to be tempted because it's practical. Okay, it might be practical. It might solve a lot of temporary So problems and be a solution for the moment and even be encouraged by others. But brothers, you're going to fall in the wrong path, okay? And the Lord will deal with that because He saved us. He died for us so that we would not continue in things like this, in sexual sin. Yeah? That's why He went to the cross. So that we would not continue it. ¿Eh? Quizás no estamos en el pecado, hermanos, sexual, pero va a haber la tentación. Y debemos de acordarnos, Señor, que el Señor murió por ese pecado sexual, ¿verdad? Que no sigamos nosotros en eso, ¿verdad? Para que podamos vivir vidas santas y recibamos todas las bendiciones cual Jesús nos quiere dar a nosotros, ¿eh? Y tenemos, hermanos, que enseñar lo mismo a los niños. Desde que están chiquitos, ¿cuál es el plan de Dios para ellos, verdad? We got to teach this to our children, okay? So that they are not taught by the world to do otherwise. So it's our responsibility as parents. Once we get the teaching, we pass it down to them. Yeah? We pass it down to them. So, what happened here? ¿Qué pasó aquí entonces con la iglesia? First of all, we're going to find out what is sexual sin. Vamos a aprender qué es pecado sexual. We're going to look at a form of this. Okay, what happened with 1 Corinthians didn't encompass all kinds of sexual sin, just one particular kind. Okay, aquí vamos a ver una clase de pecado sexual que estaban cometiendo en la iglesia de los Corintios. Y solo era un individuo. It was only one person, okay? But it mattered to God. It mattered to God, okay? Le importaba grandemente a Dios. Look at what it says in verse 1, chapter 5. Capítulo 5, versículo 1. ¿Qué fue lo que pasó? It is actually reported, Paul says. He heard it all the way across hundreds of miles, okay, what was happening there. That there is immorality among you, an immorality of such a kind as does not exist even among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife, okay? He's sleeping with his father's wife, okay? En efecto, dice Pablo, se oye que entre vosotros, en su iglesia, hay inmoralidad. Una inmoralidad tal como no existe ni siquiera entre los gentiles, al extremo de que alguno tiene la mujer de su padre. ¿Eh? Tiene la mujer de su padre. And so we can say right here that a member of the Corinthian church, we could say a believer, was involved in incest, okay? He was involved in incest. Podemos decir que un miembro de la iglesia de los Corintios estaba involucrado en el incesto, hermanos. El incesto es una clase de inmoralidad. It's a kind of immorality. And immorality, brothers, is sexual sin, okay? And it comes from the Greek word porneia. Esta palabra inmoralidad viene de la palabra griega porneia, de donde nosotros tenemos hoy pornografía. Pornografía viene de esa palabra. So the pornography comes from that word, okay? Immorality, yeah? Porneia. And and so that was happening. So it's apparent that this Christian was sleeping with his father's wife. It probably wasn't his mother, but it was his father's wife, okay? And that is incest in the Bible, and even incest in the Roman law as well, okay? Entonces, siendo que era la mujer de su padre, no era su propia madre, pero era madrastra, ¿eh? Madrastra. Y él estaba durmiendo con ella. Y este es un pecado sexual, el cual ni siquiera ocurría entre los romanos, que era contra la ley de ellos también, esta clase de relación. So, let's talk about what are other kinds of sexual sins besides incest. ¿Qué es otra clase de pecado sexual que no solo es el incesto? Now, this is just a brief kind right here. Okay, it doesn't even cover all of them. But I wrote some of that. Premarital sex is immorality. Okay? Sexo prematrimonial. Okay? Que si es antes de casarse, que si estás teniendo sexo con alguien, antes de casarse, es inmoralidad. It's a sexual sin. Okay? And that's very common today. Okay? If you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, it's expected of you to sleep together. If you're engaged, it's expected for you to live together. That is sexual sin according to God. Yeah? It's a sexual sin. Hoy el mundo dice, si tienes novia o novio, es esperado que vivan, que duerman juntos. Y si están comprometidos, especialmente se espera que estén durmiendo juntos. Y en eso en la Biblia, hermanos, es inmoralidad, es pecado sexual. Christian parents become very slack in this area with their children. And we need to be strong in this area and not cave in to the world, not cave in to your children's, quote, happiness, okay, that they think they need in this area. We need to stay strong in the Word so that God will continue to bless and protect us, yeah? Tenemos que ser duros y fuertes como padres, porque los niños hoy ya quieren ir a experimentar en esta área. Y hay que enseñarles a ellos de que esto claramente es pecado, hermanos. Es pecado. Ah, pero ustedes lo hicieron cuando estaban solteros, van a decir los niños, ¿verdad? Sí, pero ya sabemos la verdad. Ya sabemos que ahí no hay bendición. Y uno explica el testimonio. Y uno dice, ahora estamos en la verdad, ahora sabemos. Estamos en ignorancia antes, pero ahora sabemos la verdad. Yeah, you can't let children point things out to you and say, well, you did it when you were young. Yeah, when you were single, why can't we? When you say, well, I didn't know the word. I didn't know the Lord. I was doing it in ignorance. Okay, but now we know the truth and where God's will is and where he's going to bless and protect us. So you give your testimony of how you turn from the Lord and your thinking in this area. And you provide that protection to your children. Okay? Now here's some areas. Okay, primero sex, un área sexo prematrimonial, adultery, adulterio, while you're still married to somebody and sleeping with a different person. Yeah, that's clearly sexual sin. Adulterio, claramente. And Jesus goes on to say, even if you are divorced and you marry another woman, you're in adultery. Because what God had joined together, no man's supposed to separate. Yeah? Y aún el Señor dice que si aún cuando estabas, ¿qué? Casado, te divorciaste y ahora estás con otra mujer. Jesús dijo que el que hace eso aún está en adulterio, al menos que se quebró ese matrimonio por ¿qué? Pecado, porque alguien violó la relación y cometió adulterio, ¿verdad? Con otra mujer y pues quebró la relación, o abandonó la mujer o el hombre, una de las dos. Hay ciertos requisitos que puede dar permiso a casarse otra vez. Yeah? So, but understand this, adultery, let's move on, pornography, because the word comes from that. Okay? Pornografía es otra, hermanos. Porque estás cometiendo ese pecado en tu corazón, ¿verdad? You're committing that in your heart. Open marriages is another one that's becoming popular. Matrimonios abiertos es otro que costumbre que está empezando otra vez. Let's see what else. Holding lustful thoughts in your head, that's pornography, of course. Homosexuality is another kind of sexual sin. Homosexualidad es otro, hermanos, of course, incest. And many other things. Anything that's outside the bounds of a loving and committed marriage between a husband and a wife is sexual sin. God provided marriage for that purpose, to enjoy sex. To have family. Dios nos dio el matrimonio para gozarnos en el sexo, para tener familia. Para eso es el matrimonio sagrado. Es todo lo que es de afuera. Es pecado. Es pecado. Let's move on. Point number two, what should be the biblical response to sexual sin in the church? ¿Cuál debe ser entonces la respuesta bíblica de nuestra iglesia, de cualquier iglesia? A, in your attitude. Okay? You got to have the right attitude. Tienes que tener la actitud correcta, ¿eh? Como iglesia, contra este pecado. They must mourn for the sinning brother. Yeah. They must mourn for the sinning brother. Let's look at Let's read the verse in verse 2. Vamos a leer el versículo 2. Dice aquí, you have become arrogant, he tells the church, and have not mourned instead, so that the one who had done this deed would be removed from your midst. Okay? Dice, ¿No habéis vuelto arrogantes en lugar de haberos entristecido? Ahí está. Para que el que de entre vosotros ha cometido esta acción fuera expulsado de en medio de vosotros. So, el Señor dice que tenemos que tener la actitud de que debemos ser apenados de llorar por esta persona, por su condición inmoral en que ha caído. Esa debe ser la actitud, no de coraje, no de ataque, ¿verdad? Pero de estar entristecido por el hermano. It doesn't say that we should be angry and bitter and attacking this brother, the sinning brother, but that we should have the attitude of mourning for him. Okay? Mourning for him. We have that. And that's the proper attitude of love. Si tenemos amor de Dios, esa es la actitud correcta contra un hermano que ha caído en inmoralidad, hermanos. And they didn't have that. They were too busy bragging, boasting how great a church they were. Yeah, how many spiritual gifts they had, okay? How many of them spoke in tongues? And all kinds of stuff that they were boasting about when they should have been addressing this area. Yeah, Pero en vez de tener esa actitud de estar apenado, como dices, ¿no os habéis vuelto arrogantes? Estaban jactando de qué tan grande era la iglesia, de qué tantos dones espirituales tenían y qué tantos hablaban en lenguas y profetizaban y cosas así. Y estaban enfocados en otras cosas y no en esta área de grande importancia. ¿Eh? No estaban apenando el pecado, que estaba avergonzando a Dios. Yeah, they should have been addressing the sin that was embarrassing God before the Gentiles and before other churches. Yeah, and say, what action should they have? ¿Qué acción debe de tener? They are to remove the sinning brother from their midst. Okay, la acción debe de ser de que deben de quitar al hermano pecador de entre medio. Now this is assuming he's an unrepentant brother. Okay, he's been approached already. It presumes he's been approached by one person at the beginning, by maybe two or three people, and then he has said, no, I'm going to continue in this. I'm going to continue. And then, like Jesus said, then you bring it to the church. Yeah? And then the church is supposed to make a decision. And that's where it's made, where he is removed from fellowship, okay? We'll see that in a minute, yeah? Presume, antes de esta acción de quitar al hermano de entre ellos, que ya no está arrepentido, no quiere dejar ese pecado. Está ingrido. Y ya han venido gente y le han dicho, hermano, tienes que arrepentirte, esto no está bien, esto es pecado, ¿ya? Ya, pero no está bien, it's okay, no está malo. Y Dios me acepta, lo que, y hermano, ese es puro pecado, no quiere arrepentirse. Entonces se viene y se le dice, let's read verse 2. We read verse 2. Okay, that's the action. Okay, he has to be removed from their midst. Tiene que ser quitado de entre medio de vosotros, dice allí. Ese hermano que no quiere arrepentirse. Look how serious it was. Look what Paul already did. Vamos a ver lo que Pablo ya hizo antes cuando oyó el reporte de ese hermano en la otra iglesia. Él hizo algo extremo, ¿ya? Pero bíblico, ¿ya? Paul preemptively hands this sinning person over for God's judgment. ¿Ya? When he heard about it. Cuando él oyó el reporte, Pablo entregó preventivamente al juicio de Dios este hermano pecador sin siquiera estar ahí con ellos. Él ya lo hizo, recibió el reporte y empezó a entregar a este hermano al juicio y las manos de Dios para la disciplina. Este juicio es para la disciplina. This judgment is for discipline, okay? Not for casting into hell, okay? It's for the discipline. Like a father disciplines his own son. Okay, notice what he says, verse 3. Lo que dice en el versículo 3. For I, on my part, Paul says, though absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged him. Okay, he's already judged him who has so committed this as though I were present in the name of our Lord Jesus when you are assembled. He presumes they're going to obey this and do this as a church. And I with you in spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus, I have decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Okay. Dice, pues yo, dice Pablo, por mi parte, aunque ausente en cuerpo, pero presente en espíritu, como si estuviera presente, ya he juzgado al que cometió tal acción. Are we supposed to judge each other? We're gonna clarify that in a minute. He said, but he did it. In verse 4, versículo 4, dice, en el nombre de nuestro Señor Jesucristo, cuando vosotros estéis reunidos, y yo con vosotros en espíritu, con el poder de nuestro Señor Jesús, entregad a este, fíjate, a este pecador, tal a Satanás, fíjate, para la destrucción de su carne, a fin de que su espíritu sea salvo en el día del Señor Jesús. Boy, that is some serious judgment, okay? And that's what happens, brothers. Eso es lo que pasa cuando uno es echado fuera del compañerismo de la iglesia. Es entregado a Satanás, no a las manos del Señor, ya no tiene esa protección. So when it comes down to this last step, brothers, and the brother's unwilling to repent, and he is expulsed from the fellowship of the church, he's actually handed over to Satan's control. Okay? He no longer enjoys the protection of the Lord, but now he's under the whatever Satan wants to do with him. Okay? Because he has shown by his actions he loves his sin more than he loves the Lord. Yeah? Y la razón que es entregado a Satanás porque ha demostrado con sus acciones que él ama más a su pecado que al Señor. Yeah? Que al Señor, porque no quiso arrepentirse, no quiso, estás correcto, lo voy a dejar, voy a cambiar, voy a quebrar esta relación. I'm going to break this relationship because you're right, okay? I'm going to do the Lord's will and I'm going to trust Him, okay? I'm going to trust Him. So he's handed over, brothers. Él es entregado a Satanás. And we see also, brothers, that number two, the offender is excluded from the fellowship of the church, and that's what happens. Él es excluido del compañerismo de la iglesia. What does that mean? Okay. ¿Qué quiere decir es ser echado fuera del compañerismo de la iglesia? We're going to jump down to verse 11. Yeah, we're going to take a little jump down. Vamos a brincar para abajo al versículo 11 y mirar lo que él dijo allí. Yeah, ¿de qué quiere decir esto? Yeah. Pablo dice, but actually he says, I wrote to you, and he had written a letter previously to the Corinthian church, but we don't have that letter, okay? I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he is an immoral person. Okay, and not just sexual sin, but he goes on, or covetous. Okay? He's got greedy. Okay? He's greedy. He says that's the same kind of sin, you're not going to associate with it. Or he's an idolater. Huh? Or a reviler. He has a dirty mouth and he won't stop cussing. Yeah? He's a reviler, or he's a drunkard. He won't stop drinking. Yeah? He's staggering all over the place. Or he's a swindler. He's swindling the church and members of the church or people outside. What do we do? He said, do not even eat with such a person. Okay? Do not even eat with such a person. Dice Corintios 5:11, dice, sino que en efecto os escribía que no anduvieras en compañía de ninguno que llamándose hermano. Tiene que llamarse hermano, ¿ya? Y luego es una persona inmoral, o avaro, o idólatra, o defamador, o borracho, o estafador. Con este dice, ni siquiera comáis. No, ni siquiera comas con él. ¿Ya? No andes con él, no comas con él. Don't be with him, don't even eat with him. And so, to be excluded from the fellowship of the church is a serious matter, okay? It obviously can't have the Lord's Supper. He can't do any involved in any ministries, okay? It's a serious matter because he needs to understand that's how he has treated the Lord, okay? And that's how the church is going to treat him. Yeah. Es un área bien serio, hermanos, porque así es como el pecador trató al Señor con sus acciones. Expulsó al Señor y su influencia de su vida. No quiero que me digas cómo vivir y cómo qué clase de relación tener, Señor. Voy a hacer lo que quiero. Y es lo que la iglesia hace ahora con él, afuera, ¿ya? Hermano. No podemos tener compañerismo, porque estás tú, no estás bien con Dios y no quieres arreglarlo. ¿Eh? No quieres arreglarlo. Why? What's the purpose of this? And that's the question we're going to ask, okay? The purpose of church discipline is to bring about repentance and purification, okay? It's not to be mean, okay? It's not just for the purpose of judging you're not as good as we, so you got to get out, okay? It's to produce in that person, what? Repentance and purification. El propósito de la disciplina congregacional a ese pecador es producir arrepentimiento y purificación, hermanos. No es para ser duro, simplemente duro y malo con el hermano. No, es para que produzca en él arrepentimiento. Es el último paso para que, si de veras se va a arrepentir, y purificación, que viva una vida pura. There's a verse here in Hebrews 12:10 that talks about discipline. Hay un versículo en Hebreos 12, versículo 10, de que habla de la disciplina. For they disciplined, talking about our parents. Remember our parents disciplined us? It wasn't for them to, because they were mean, because they loved us, right? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best for them. But God disciplines us for our good, so that we may share in His holiness. There it is. Dice claramente en el versículo 10 de Hebreos. Dice, porque ellos, los padres, nos disciplinaban por pocos días como les parecía. Pero Él, nuestro Dios, nos disciplina para nuestro bien, para que participemos de su santidad. Ahí está. Es el propósito de la disciplina, hermanos. Que regresemos a la santidad. And so that's why the Lord commands the church to do this. Es mandato de Dios que cuando es necesario que la iglesia haga esto. Haga esto. Now, look at this. The need of church discipline is for its own protection. Okay? Yeah, Jesus died for the church. He shed His blood to purify the church, okay? But we can make it impure by our actions, by our unrepentant sins, yeah? And go again and work against God and work against the Holy Spirit. La necesidad de la disciplina de la iglesia es para su propia protección. El Señor murió por la iglesia para limpiarla, purificarla, dejarla blanca. Pero si nosotros, por causa de pecado que no queremos arrepentirnos, estamos trabajando contra la obra de Dios y ensuciándonos, ¿verdad? Ensuciando la novia de Cristo. The bride of Christ has to be pure. That's the church. And clean. So let's see what he says here in verse 6. Mirando lo que dice en el versículo 6. For your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Okay. Dice, vuestra jactancia no es buena. ¿No sabéis que un poco de levadura fermenta toda la masa? Yeah. So what he's saying is that trivializing sin, brothers, sexual sin in the church will allow it to spread. Will allow it to spread to other families. Yeah? To other single people. Yeah? Well, they're doing it. It must be. And they haven't said anything. The church hasn't done anything about it. It must be okay. Okay? Tenemos que entender que trivializar el pecado sexual en la iglesia permitirá que se aumente aún más, hermanos. Si miran lo demás que no, la iglesia no hizo nada, los líderes no dijeron nada sobre esto, pues a lo mejor no está tan malo. ¿Eh? Si yo lo hago, tampoco van a decir algo. ¿Eh? Y aumenta así como la levadura, hermanos. La levadura. La levadura representa el pecado. Si dejas un poco de levadura que entre la masa, la levadura tiene la capacidad de penetrar, impregnar todo la masa, fíjate. Y así trabaja el pecado. Yeah, así trabaja el pecado. See, leaven here represents, brothers, when it's mentioned here, it represents sin, okay? It represents sin. Leavens the whole lump. It has the ability to impregnate the entire lump of dough. You put a little speck in there, and imperceptibly, it just starts to penetrate the whole thing and gets bigger, bigger, bigger. Okay? And that's how sin works. Just a little bit of it. You don't deal with it. You don't repent of it. You don't have the Lord cleanse it. It'll spread. That's why the church, brothers, is obligated to do church discipline when it's necessary. Yeah. They were trivializing the sin. They weren't dealing with it. La iglesia estaba trivializando el pecado este sexual porque no estaban haciendo nada. No estaban haciendo nada con el individuo. And now, as we look at verse 7, the church is responsible to clean out its sin to enjoy the blessings of Christ's sacrifice. Y si miramos ahorita el versículo 7, la iglesia es responsable a limpiar su pecado para disfrutar de las bendiciones del sacrificio de Cristo. Vamos a leerlo, dice. It says in verse 7, clean out the old leaven, the sin, so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. You are being cleansed by the Lord. Act like it, is what he's saying. For Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. Dice, limpiar la levadura, el pecado, dice el versículo 7. La levadura vieja para que seas masa nueva, así como lo sois. Eres masa nueva, sin levadura. Sí, el Señor nos ha limpiado con su sangre a nosotros. Debemos de actuar como que estamos limpiados. ¿Ya? Debemos actuar para que aún Cristo, nuestro Pascua, ha sido sacrificado. So, let it be. Oh, did I move on? Let it be. Oh, we got it. All right. So, that is important for us to understand. The church needs to clean out the sin so it can stay the pure bride of Christ. Okay? While still loving the sinning brother at the same time. Yeah? While still loving him and encouraging him to repent so he can come back. Yeah? So he can come back. Y así la iglesia, siendo que es la novia de Cristo, debe mantenerse pura y limpia y sin mancha. Y aún amando al hermano pecador, ¿ya? Que ha caído en ese pecado, es animándolo a que se arrepienta para que regrese al compañerismo, ¿ya? De Cristo y de la iglesia. ¿Ya? Sí, hermano, es puro amor. It's pure love, brothers, the action. Pure love. Let's look at last point, último punto. The church is to judge insiders, not outsiders. Tenemos que entender esta verdad, hermanos, que la iglesia debe de juzgar a los de adentro y no los de afuera. Y muchas veces lo tenemos al revés. Lo tenemos al revés. Juzgamos a los de afuera, pero no los de adentro. Y ahí es donde el mundo se da cuenta que somos hipócritas. Y nos creemos nosotros más grandes y altos y santos que ellos que están afuera. Tenemos que corregir eso. Yeah. We get it backwards sometimes. And the church judges the outsiders for being sinners. Okay? And doesn't judge those on the inside. We got it wrong. Okay? We got it backwards. And the world looks at us and calls us hypocrites. You guys are doing all kinds of stuff in your church I know about. And then you judge us? And so they correctly, brothers, address that wrong, that hypocrisy of the church. No, let's see what it says here in verse 9 through 13. Vamos a ver lo que dice el versículo 9 al 13. I wrote to you in my letters not to associate with immoral people. Okay? Sexual sinners, in other words. I did not at all mean with the immoral people of this world, or with those that are covetous, or swindlers, or with idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world. Okay? These are people who are unbelievers. He said, I didn't tell you to judge them. Yeah? Dice en el versículo 9, en mi carta escribí que no anduvieras en compañía de personas inmorales. ¿Y qué hizo la iglesia? Mira, versículo 10. No me refería yo a la gente inmoral de este mundo, los que están afuera. No estoy refiriendo a ellos, o a los ávaros, o estafadores, o los idólatras, porque entonces tendrías que salir del mundo. Estamos llenos de esta clase de gente, ¿verdad? Verse 12, we already looked at verse 11. Verse 12, for what have I to do with judging outsiders? Okay? Unbelievers, in other words. Dice en el 12, pues, ¿por qué he de juzgar yo a los de afuera? A los que son, a los que no se llaman ser cristianos. A los incrédulos. Yo no puedo o debo de juzgar a esos. Pero dice aquí, ¿no juzgáis vosotros a los que están dentro de la iglesia? It says, do you not judge those who are within the church? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, what it says, remove the wicked man from among you. Dice, versículo 13, pero Dios juzga a los que están afuera, fíjate. Esa es la responsabilidad de él, no de la mía. ¿Yeah? Y luego dice, expulsad entonces, ¿yeah?, de entre vosotros al malvado. Así es como se juzga. ¿Eh? Pero debe ser la iglesia la que hace. Un individuo no puede echar a otro individuo de la iglesia. La iglesia es la que, en obediencia a Cristo, es la que puede echar afuera al hermano o a la hermana. So, understand here that the process of expulsing or removing the wicked man from among yourselves, one Christian, we see, does not have the authority to cast another Christian out of the church. Okay? But it has to be the church. When we gather together, we make a decision, and we say, brother, you're out until you repent. Okay? Until you repent. It's the church that removes the brother from the fellowship. Okay? So we need to understand that. So, now, mom and dad, we have to teach our children. Yeah. You'll see, maybe you'll see the wrong example in the TV, and you don't say anything about it. The child's going to think, hey, that's the way it's done. Yeah. Girlfriend, you get a girlfriend, you sleep together. You get a boyfriend, you sleep together. You don't say anything about it, they're going to think it's okay. You got to teach, use a teaching moment, or not be exposing those kids to that behavior on TV. Yeah. You have to address and teach. Yeah. Tienes que enseñar como padres esta verdad, hermanos. Y aun cuando, si hay algo en la televisión que está demostrando que están viviendo juntos en una relación pecaminosa, y no dices nada, van a creer que está correcto. Tienes que tomar eso y decir, mira, mija, voy a poner pausa a esto, vamos a hablar sobre esto. Eso es pecado, mijo. Mija, eso es pecado lo que están haciendo. Y eso no quiere que Dios, tú lo hagas en tu vida. So we have to teach this to our children. Yeah. Have we failed? We probably failed. Si hemos nosotros fallado en esta área, pues, ojalá ya sea en el pasado y ya lo corregimos, ya nos arrepentimos, pero ahora hay que enseñarlo correctamente. Yeah. Vivirlo correctamente y enseñarlo. If this is part of our life, hopefully it's in the past and we've repented already, but we can live it correctly and teach it correctly to our children. Yeah. If you have any questions to that, you can talk to myself or my wife in this area. If you're wondering if there's something happening in your life that is either right or wrong, you're not too sure, talk to us. Talk to us, okay? Because we need to live pure lives. Tenemos que vivir vidas puras, yeah? Let's bow our heads. Vamos a inclinar nuestro rostro. Heavenly Father, we come before you, God, and we are reminded, Lord, the importance of sexual purity. And Lord, we cannot do this without, Lord, following your word and claiming your power and practicing, Lord, purity in every area of our life. Lord, we need you right now to strengthen us. To strengthen us, Lord, because everything you have for us that is good will come at the perfect time, Lord, that you have chosen. Help us to trust your timing, Lord, in this area. Gracias, Señor, que nos enseñas a vivir vidas puras, Señor, especialmente en el área del sexo, Señor. Ayúdanos, Señor, a agarrarnos de tu poder, de que nos libres de las tentaciones, Señor, y que podamos tener la victoria y agarrarnos de las promesas, que toda cosa buena que tú tienes para nosotros, Señor, tú lo vas a traer al tiempo apropiado, Señor, y perfecto que tú has escogido. Ayúdanos a confiar en ti, Señor, en esta área. And Father, we pray for those of us who are struggling in this area of sin, Lord, of sexual sin. God, we want to repent right now. We want to turn away from that sin or that relationship, Lord, that is based on that sin, so that we might fully follow you. Para nosotros, Señor, que estamos en el pecado sexual ahorita, que estamos luchando en eso, Señor. Queremos arrepentirnos ahorita, Señor. Queremos ahorita soltar ese pecado, hacernos la vuelta y quebrar esa práctica que tenemos nosotros o esa relación que está basada en ese pecado, Señor, para poder seguirte a ti completamente, de todo corazón, Señor, y no a medias. Oh, Señor, líbranos, Señor, de ese pecado. Danos un corazón, Señor, que está entregado a ti, Señor. Father, help us then to turn away and to hate that sin, Lord. Help us, Lord, to live pure lives and to trust you, Lord, and your plan for us. And we pray this right now in Jesus' name. Esto lo pedimos en el nombre de Jesús. And God's people said, amen. God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.